I'm Julianne Good, and this is Psych 101. Welcome. We are here to make psychology more understandable with tips for you, your family, and your friends to make your lives easier. Tonight, my special guest is in studio, Dr. Gregory Canias. Thank you for being here.
Oh, thank you for having me again, Julie.
Yeah, this is about your third time coming in, isn't it?
It is.
Thank you. We have such a great time when you come in studio, and yeah, you know, it's wonderful, all the insight you have on so many different areas in psychology. So we really appreciate you being here.
Thank you.
Tonight we are going to be talking about forgiveness. What is forgiveness? Do you need to forgive? What does it mean to truly forgive somebody and yourself? Mm-hmm. That is an important aspect of it also, because there's so many people that cannot forgive themselves and cannot move forward from wrongdoings and grudges, and they hold on to it. Mm-hmm. And it's not exactly the most positive thing to be holding on to in one person's life. So, Dr. Canias, can you tell us a little bit about your background, please?
So I am an assistant professor at the Chicago School in downtown LA. I teach in the clinical psychology department. I teach doctoral students primarily, but I also teach in the master's program from time to time, the MFT program at the Chicago School. And I'm also a commissioner on the Commission for Youth and Children in the city of Long Beach.
You're a very busy man.
I would say so.
Yes. And you're working on a book.
Yes, I'm working on a book. Actually, two books that hopefully will come out in the fall. One is on infidelity, and the other is called Sticks and Stones, Healing from Verbal Abuse.
That's wonderful. So thank you. What is the purpose of forgiving?
Well, that's a good question, Julianne. I think the purpose of forgiving is to release whatever pain that person has, whether it was caused by an incident or by a person, to really let that go. Because that act of forgiving that person, oneself, can release that person from some of the pain around that particular incident. And so a lot of times, you mentioned earlier, people are not able to really do that. But it's something that I think helps psychologically, it helps physically, it helps emotionally. So it's something that I think people need to practice a little bit more.
And how do you recommend that somebody start practicing forgiveness? I know it's a little early in the program to be discussing that, but I think it's one of those themes that I'm going to come back to, because a lot of people don't know how to forgive. Mm-hmm. They don't know where to start because they've been in such a pattern for most of their lives of holding on to grudges.
Mm-hmm. And that's right. I think it's about letting go of grudges. It's about letting go of whatever anger and resentment that person has about something that's happened to them. And so it really is about releasing that so that there is more joy, more bliss in that person's life. So what I've recommended to clients before is to do a number of different things, and it depends, I think, on the issue. But it really is about letting that incident go. And sometimes people do that in a variety of ways. I mean, sometimes people journal about it. Sometimes people will talk about it in therapy. Other times people will have the opportunity to speak directly to the person who they feel has done them wrong. And so it takes a number of different forms. It really depends, I think, on the issue. But ultimately, it's about releasing whatever pain and hurt that that individual has about whatever has happened to him or her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, getting to that first step of making amends.
Exactly.
Or asking for forgiveness also. Mm-hmm. Because, and for a lot of people, that is difficult, saying, you know what, I made a mistake here, I was a jerk, I did something I shouldn't have done, and would you forgive me? Or, you know, that takes a lot of courage for people to get to that point, to admit they're wrong.
It does. And a lot of times people are not raised to do that. In most people's homes, when something happens, people will kind of just sweep it under the rug, and they won't really talk about it. As you know, you're a therapist also, that a lot of people don't communicate in their families of origin, so they don't learn how to do that when they get into relationships, whether that's a romantic relationship or whether it's something that happens at work. They're not really used to being able to talk things through. And so in doing that, that's part of the release.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and isn't it more or less getting into the stance of I'm right and you're wrong, you're the one to blame for my suffering right now, mm-hmm. and holding on to that?
Right, I think that's part of it. And I think it's also a lot of times what happens if you look underneath it, it's about compromising trust.
Mm.
And the person feels that that trust was violated. So that's sometimes why they hold on to it for so long. So it's helping them to heal with that as well. Because that can then impact other relationships. If you've had a bad experience in a relationship, for example, with someone, and you feel like they've done something that you have not been able to forgive, that stuff can be carried into future relationships. So you want to heal that so that you don't carry that into subsequent relationships and impact those relationships with the negativity of not forgiving that person or situation.
Yeah, not letting go can really erode trust
mm-hmm.
within the primary relationship
mm-hmm.
and then the relationships to come, the consequent relationships. And, you know, and there's so many times, too, that I tell my clients a lot, sometimes life presents you with these situations
mm-hmm.
where you have to keep learning the same lesson until mm-hmm. you finally get it. And I believe that forgiveness comes into play there, whether it's something that happened in your childhood
mm-hmm.
that you had no control over.
Right.
It just happened to you. And then, you know, finding other people that behave the same way and thinking that that original breach of trust
mm-hmm.
is going to be healed up.
Mm-hmm.
But they need to go back.
They need to go back, right.
You know, reprocess, heal up, forgive.
Exactly.
And then maybe they won't be attracting the same kind of situations and people that originally wounded them.
Right. I agree with that. Yeah, I do. I agree with what you just said. I think that a lot of times we keep learning the same lesson until we get it. And so if you haven't healed from that, and that includes things like forgiveness and moving forward, then you're going to keep repeating that over and over again. So that's another reason to work on forgiveness, so that you don't repeat those patterns, whether it's in a relationship, whether it's substance abuse, whatever the issue is. Infidelity, I know we were talking about infidelity a little bit earlier off broadcast, and that is very much related to this topic as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a huge breach of trust
mm-hmm.
and something that needs to be forgiven in an adult stance
mm-hmm.
because how can you go on, and then if you stay with a person, then there's always that underlying mistrust, unless that has been worked through properly, hopefully
yes.
between the couple, but if not with a couple's therapist.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would agree with that. That is one of the biggest breaches of trust when someone cheats on you. And so it does need to be something that's worked through if the couple's to stay together. And there needs to be forgiveness. Otherwise, it's not going to work. They're just going to probably pull themselves apart
mm-hmm.
and distance themselves, and the relationship is going to end, whether they consciously do that or not.
So in a situation like that,
mm-hmm.
because sometimes people forgive earlier than what you think that they should.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's always that fine line of timing.
Mm-hmm.
So in that situation, what differentiates superficial forgiveness from true forgiveness, heartfelt forgiveness?
I think the person who is in the place that needs to forgive needs to allow him or herself time and space to be in a good place to do that. I don't think that you want to rush through that. There was an incident this past week in Charleston.
Yes.
And the young man shot and killed 9 people. And
horrible.
There was a hearing last week in which the family members stood up and were very forgiving of him. And I can't say that I walk in his shoes, so I really can't. But I think sometimes people move to do that very quickly, and they really haven't processed the emotional content behind that, and that that's not always good. So sometimes it's good to step back and to take some time to process that before you move towards forgiving, if that makes sense.
It does. And before we started this podcast, I was watching Anderson Cooper 360, and he was interviewing Reverend Pinckney's cousin about the situation of forgiveness. Mm-hmm. And if she agreed with it, she didn't say much, but she said she's not at that point. She has to have time to process it out.
Right. And I think that's good, to take the time to process that. Sometimes it takes weeks, sometimes it takes months, sometimes it takes years for people, depending on the issue that needs to be forgiven.
Right. And the horrendous nature of the wrongdoing.
Exactly.
Yes, because, I believe that there are certain issues in life that should not be forgiven so easily or readily, because at least from my perspective, and I think maybe from a lot of other people's perspective too, is that you did something here that is just... It's off the meter for wrongdoing, rape, molestation, murder, torture, things that are just abominable.
Mm-hmm.
That takes a while to process and to forgive. And I think that everybody comes to their own level of forgiveness in situations like that. Mm-hmm. It has to feel real. It has to feel... if you can't use the word forgiveness, maybe, I understand why you did A, B, and C to me or another person. I can start getting a little more cognitive into coming up with the reasons why you may have done such a horrible thing.
Mm-hmm. And underneath what usually happens is feelings of anger and resentment.
Mm-hmm.
And again, so I don't think people want to process that too quickly, because those are things that need to be worked through, oftentimes very slowly.
Yes.
So that people do not move so quickly that they are not being genuine and authentic.
Mm-hmm.
And so you want to have time to do that. And so forgiving too quickly, I think, can actually be a disservice to the person, or having people push that person to forgive. Because a lot of times with clients that I've worked with and in my own personal life, when I've had issues come up, people will sometimes try to push the issue of forgiveness. And if you're not ready to do that, it's not a good thing.
Yes. Well, it's the saying forgive and forget.
Mm-hmm.
There's some people who do believe that if you forgive like that, that it's gone. And it's not, because you have the residual... Yes.
No.
You have the residual emotionality behind it.
Yeah.
That needs to surface, and it needs to be honored.
Yes. And I think part of forgiving, though, is not necessarily forgetting. I think sometimes you want to remember those things. You just don't want to give it as much weight as you gave it before.
Mm-hmm.
Because there are things that have happened. You mentioned some horrific things like murder and rape and molestation, hate crimes. Those things, you want to remember that stuff, that happened, and that person did compromise your trust. Because I think that that is a way of protecting yourself, especially if you remain in a relationship with that person. So you don't want to forget it necessarily. But you do want to move past the anger and the resentment that is underneath that and move towards forgiveness.
Right. Because there's always those health issues. I found a nice little article here about the health issues, about hanging on to anger, hanging on to resentment. What it does to your body.
Mm-hmm.
You're chronically in the fight or flight mode.
Mm-hmm.
It creates physiological tension. Mm-hmm. It increases your heart rate, your blood pressure,
mm-hmm.
your sweating. It rips down your immune system eventually,
yeah.
if it's a deep enough hurt that you're holding on to.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really detrimental.
Yeah, I would agree. So there are physiological symptoms, but there also can be psychological symptoms like mm-hmm. depression or anxiety. And oftentimes the person who may have committed the wrong, the transgression, isn't really thinking about it. But the person who's holding on to it is thinking about it, and it's affecting him or her in a really negative way, emotionally, psychologically, physically. And so those are also reasons for moving forward and not holding on to that.
Right. And then a lot of times also the person who is the wrongdoer mm-hmm. is gone.
Right.
You'll never see him or her again.
Yes.
Or they've passed away or mm-hmm. they're gone. Mm-hmm. There's only, you know, only ways to make amends that it's going to lift that burden from your soul and your psyche.
Yes. So sometimes with people that I've worked with in the past, they're not able to reconcile. So as you mentioned, someone may have died or it may have been someone that they didn't even know who committed an act against them. And so it's helping them to move past that, even if they're not able to confront the person or talk it out with the person one-on-one or face-to-face. It might be about having them journal or write a letter or, it's with some psychological techniques, there's a technique called the empty chair. Mm-hmm. Some psychologists will ask the person, the client, to talk to the chair as if that were the person who had transgressed. And so there's a number of different things that can be done to help that person heal, even if the perpetrator, so to speak, is not present.
I love empty chair technique. It is so powerful.
Yes. Yeah, it does work with some clients very, very effectively.
And it's wonderful, too. I mean, even as a self-help technique, mm-hmm. if you're feeling burdened down with anger from the past, from somebody who has hurt you, you can just sit and, hey, let's have a conversation here. I know for some people, they're like, oh, that sounds a little odd, but
yeah.
It's really powerful. It's incredible because it's like you're talking to that person as if they were there. Now your brain and body can sense it's almost really going through that experience mm-hmm. as if they were there.
Exactly. Yeah. And it doesn't work for everybody.
No.
As you mentioned, it doesn't work for every client or in every community. But it can be an effective and powerful tool if the person who is in therapy agrees to do that and is open to doing it.
Yes. Because it's amazing that once you get that one-way dialogue going, mm-hmm. what can actually surface afterwards, because there's just such pent-up energy mm-hmm. when you're holding on to grudges mm-hmm. that it dampens down, like you said before, it dampens down any bliss, any mm-hmm. joy, mm-hmm. any real deep, true emotions from coming through.
Mm-hmm.
So it's good to release that in a safe manner
mm-hmm.
versus carrying it on and then maybe turning around and doing maybe the same wrongdoing to somebody else and you don't even realize it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You're carrying that torch on. You don't want to do that.
No. No, you want to release it. You want to let it go.
Yes, most definitely. Mm-hmm. We are going to take a little break. We will be right back with Psych 101.
Chicago School of Professional Psychology offers numerous psychology, behavioral, and health-related science graduate degrees at three campuses, Los Angeles, California, including branches in Westwood and Irvine, Chicago, Illinois, and Washington, D.C., and online. The Chicago School prepares students to meet the ever-changing mental health needs of society through classroom experience and real-world training. The Chicago School Counseling Centers in Irvine and Westwood provide caring, confidential, and affordable psychological services to individuals and their families. For more information, visit thechicagoschool.edu.
And we're back with Psych 101 with Julianne Good and Dr. Gregory Caneas, and we are talking about forgiveness this evening. And Dr. Caneas, if you forgive, does that person need to remain in your life?
No, not necessarily. I think that in most cases, you want to keep people in your life if the relationship is good and it's worth working on. I think that that's not always the case, though. With some people, they might be very toxic. They might not change. Even if you've talked to them about these issues and said, hey, this has hurt me, I've forgiven you, let's move forward, they may exhibit the same behavior. They may still hurt you. So I don't necessarily think that everybody that you forgive needs to remain in your life. And again, forgiveness is not really about the other person. It's actually about you. Mm-hmm. It's about you releasing that pain, that anger, that hurt, that resentment, so that you're able to move forward. It's not necessarily about giving that person a gift. The gift is really for you.
Mm-hmm.
So they don't really have to remain in your life. There are lots of people, I've dealt with this issue myself, not just helping clients to work through it. And there are lots of people that I've forgiven, but I don't want to have anything to do with them,
mm-hmm.
honestly. We were talking, I think, a little bit earlier about like some of the biblical passages, and the Bible says that you should forgive. And I think that that drives for a lot of Christians and for a lot of people, how they forgive people and whether they forgive. And I certainly agree with that. But there are some people that if they made it to heaven, I know there's another scripture that says in my Father's house, there are many mansions. They can go to their mansion and I'll go to mine. I don't necessarily want to see them. Even if we're in heaven.
Stay down the street.
Right.
And that other cloud.
Exactly. So, I will have forgiven them,
yes.
But I don't necessarily want them around,
yes.
Especially if they've not moved to change and are not willing to work on the relationship.
Or the point also, if you over forgive somebody, mm-hmm. then they know that they can commit whatever atrocities and they can come back to you and you'll say, oh, it's okay, I forgive you again.
Mm-hmm.
And at what point do you just have to say, no more? You know, as you stated before, mm-hmm. it's a toxic relationship. Mm-hmm. You need to set your boundaries mm-hmm. because that person obviously is not learning from their mistakes.
Absolutely.
They keep repeating them and getting some kind of thrill off the game of, you know, well, I'm the bad person, but you'll forgive me. And, mm-hmm. you know.
Yeah. And sometimes it's about people growing up, because I've also had experiences where I've cut people off. I've severed the relationship because I thought they were toxic. And some time elapsed and that person grew. Mm-hmm. And they looked at some of the things that had happened between us. And they were able to come to a place where they could admit that they had done something wrong. And they wanted to work on the relationship. And so when they came back, because I had forgiven them, I was open to having a relationship with them again. And those relationships, a lot of those relationships are still intact.
Mm-hmm.
So I think you can see situations where it needs to happen where you're not connected to that person. And then sometimes it's a time thing. You disconnect and then you can reconnect. And then sometimes you can just move forward with people. I think it just depends on the person and how willing that person is to make amends, accept responsibility for what they've done, and how they value the relationship.
Exactly. Those are great points.
Thank you.
Especially taking self-responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I work with a lot of people who are addicted to multiple substances.
Mm-hmm.
And it's amazing how much the forgiveness component comes in
mm-hmm.
and the transgressions that occur daily, and people keep coming back because it's, you know, and it's tied into that codependency,
mm-hmm.
you know, that other addiction to love and sex.
Mm-hmm.
And it just gets so complicated.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of that has to do with family of origin issues. And I think the first time I was on, I talked a lot about family of origin issues.
Mm-hmm.
And so there are things that I think happen in people's early life experiences. They don't get something that they need. And so it creates those kinds of issues like addictions, substance abuse, other kinds of addictions, sexual addiction, etc.
Mm-hmm.
And so looking at those things are really important. And as you mentioned, too, I think sometimes it's about forgiving for that person, too, for them to be able to move through the substance issue or the addiction issue. So forgiving whatever happened between them and their family of origin, but also forgiving themselves for a lot of the things that happened when they were in their addiction, things that caused the addiction, their guilt and shame around the addiction. So it's multifaceted, so to speak.
It really is, and it's very complex.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the steps for the anonymous groups
mm-hmm.
is to make amends
mm-hmm.
and to write the letters, make the calls,
mm-hmm.
try to you know, make the list. And for some people, that is a really long list. Mm-hmm. And for some people, they're just like, well, I know I did something to that person. Not quite sure what I did, but there's something a little amiss with what happened with our relationship and our communication. So that can be a long journey for some people.
Yeah, that's true.
Yes.
It can be a long journey because I've worked with substance abusers also. And sometimes the things that they've done when they were in their addiction, they've done it to so many people,
yes,
including people that were very close to them and supported them. So making those amends, but again, also making amends and forgiving yourself, yes, and taking responsibility for the things that you've done, but releasing that. And that's part of what moves them forward or can move them forward.
So let's talk about self-forgiveness. Mm-hmm. That is so difficult for many people to realize that I made mistakes. Mm-hmm. What do I do about it now? Mm-hmm. They get eat up. They're eaten up by the guilt and the shame, yeah, as you had stated. Mm-hmm. The guilt, the shame, the regret. That weighs them down, and they can't seem to move past that weight of being compassionate with themselves. Mm-hmm. What do you recommend as a first step?
Really owning whatever happened. And sometimes it's writing it down. I mean, I'm big on journaling. I'm big on writing things out. And so really sitting down, taking a minute, writing out things that happened when you were in, let's say, addiction. Mm-hmm. We'll use that as an example. What happened? What things do you need to forgive? Not just, again, with the other people that you've harmed, but yourself. Writing those things down. And then moving forward. There's this ritual that I do when I forgive people, and it involves writing stuff down, as I mentioned, letting it go, whether it's been loaning people money and they never paid it back, or infidelity, or whatever the issue is. I write it down, the fireplace, I will light the fire, and I throw it in, and I release it. And that's something that my family also does around New Year's Eve, the things that we want to get rid of, the bad habits, etc. We let them go. Mm-hmm. The fire is very cleansing. It just moves us forward. And so that has been kind of really helpful for me. And I don't think about the things again. I let the money go. I let the, you know, whatever the issue is, go. And so a lot of times it's releasing it in that way. That may work for some people. For other people, it might be that they talk it out in therapy, or they talk it out in a 12-step program, or they talk to a pastor or priest. So whatever works, I think, for that person. But you have to get to a place where you are ready to release that and release all that stuff that is holding you back.
And I think part of the baby step is when you forgive yourself, you are building your self-esteem, or you are rebuilding it. Mm-hmm. Because I think a lot of that, it does stem from family of origin issues. Mm-hmm. When you're small, especially if you end up getting blamed for the wrongdoings of somebody else, and you think after a while, okay, did I really do that? Mm-hmm. Or, you know, and then you start taking on the blame for other people, even though you know that somebody else did something wrong, but you'd say, oh no, I really did that, because you want to protect that other person. You want to take the heat off the other person, mm-hmm, take the blame, because you know that, you know, you hate to see somebody else hurting. You'd rather take the hit, mm-hmm, you know, literally or physically.
So to speak.
Family scapegoat. Uh-huh. Exactly.
Yes.
So just learning again that self-compassion and letting just that pain surface little by little, and knowing that it's not going to completely throw you off track. It's going to eventually build you back up and make you stronger when you release that pain.
Exactly.
You forgive yourself. You're like, okay, well, maybe I wasn't thinking at the time, or, you know, maybe I was high or drunk, or whatever state of mind I was in, that, you know, we all make mistakes. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the lessons of life, is that sometimes when we make mistakes, we learn the best. We don't always learn the best when we're doing what we're supposed to be doing, when we're doing, you know, right and positive. And, right. you know, that would be lovely if we could get through
that
life
would be
like
really
that.
Nice.
Yes, but life presents us lessons every day, doesn't it?
I would agree. Yeah. And sometimes we don't want them. But
yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
You're right. It does. It does happen that that's the case. Yes. So, and sometimes they can be blessings.
Yes.
A colleague of mine, Dr. Harris, calls them blessons. So blessing and lesson.
Blessings.
Right. I don't always know about one to have a blessing. But I'd rather have the blessings, not always the blessing. But yeah, I do think that we get them. We get what we need in terms of the lessons. And although some of them can be very painful, I think if we are able to work through those, we can also help other people to work through those, whether we're a helping professional or not.
Right. I know. It's beautiful, the group of people that I'm working with now. It's 5 days a week, group therapy. Mm-hmm. And of course, one of the wonderful situations with doing group therapy that a lot of people don't realize is that sooner or later, if you keep going to group therapy, people start therapizing other people.
Yes.
And they say, oh, well, I've been through that situation and this is what I did. And it's almost better sometimes than having one of the therapists saying, well, I learned this in a textbook and maybe you should try this, because the other group members are like, well, I've been there. I've done that. This is what I've done. Mm-hmm. And that bonding, that connection, mm-hmm. that reconnecting that we all need, that we are just craving mm-hmm. nowadays, because there's so many things that are separating us
right.
from each other. There's too many distractions.
Mm-hmm.
So to teach each other, this is a really good reason why, you know, to forgive yourself. And I believe it's you need to forgive yourself first for what you've done, because then it makes it a little bit easier to forgive somebody else because you're being softer on yourself.
Yeah, I would agree. But in practice, and I think from my own journey, I think it's sometimes harder to do that.
Oh.
I think it's sometimes easier to forgive, to externalize and forgive the other person than it is to forgive yourself. But I would agree that would be best. It doesn't always happen, though, I think. I think sometimes people are able to forgive the other person much easier, and then they may be moved towards forgiving themselves.
So sometimes it's just a cycle.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. A little at a time.
Yes. Yeah, exactly.
So where would you start with somebody who's has a history of being hurt along the same lines? They, you know, like us discussing before, they attract the same sort of people.
Mm-hmm.
Do you get them to a place where it's like, let's sit and look at the history of attracting these types of people mm-hmm. that keep on hurting you in almost the same manners?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so when I was working with clients, that was what I would do. So if people came in and they presented what we saw was a pattern, then we looked at the pattern. Why are you attracting these people? It looks like the same kind of person.
Mm-hmm.
Why are you attracting this person in terms of dating, in terms of relationships? What does that mean? Where does this come from? Is this linked to family of origin issues? Is it linked to self-esteem issues? And usually it is related to family of origin, related to self-esteem, related to those kinds of issues. And so really looking at the pattern and then making change, because oftentimes people are able to look at the pattern, they're able to identify that. But what really needs to happen, the work that needs to happen, oftentimes is around making behavioral change, which is a little bit harder for people to do.
Yes, it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But starting with that pattern is first.
Yeah, most definitely. When we come back from the break, I would like to talk about one of the most significant hurts that somebody can go through, which is infidelity. How do you forgive? How do you get through that situation? It can be so heartbreaking.
Okay.
Are you searching for answers and insight to life issues? Is the behavior of family or friends questionable or concerning? Find tips and possible solutions from the convenience of your own PC, cell phone, or tablet at therapycable.com. Therapy Cable has the most comprehensive library of contemporary therapy videos online. Help may be as easy as a few clicks away. Therapy Cable offers comprehensive therapy videos ranging from addiction to self-care and contact information for qualified providers. Find the answers to your life challenges at therapycable.com.
To Psych 101 with Julianne Good and Dr. Gregory Caneas, and we are talking about forgiveness this evening. Dr. Caneas, what can a person do once they found out that their loved one has been cheating on them?
That's a good question. So I think the first thing to do, honestly, is to, again, sit with the emotion around that. A lot of times that brings up anger, resentment. It certainly compromises trust. I think we were talking about that a little bit earlier. So really sitting with the emotion around that, not necessarily making really snap decisions about the relationship, but sitting with that and having discussions with your partner about that particular issue. What happened? Why did it happen? Sometimes people need to remove themselves from the situation for a couple of days, weeks, whatever it takes for that person. Those aren't conversations that always happen immediately after finding out about the infidelity. But really sitting with the emotion, processing that with the partner, and then deciding what they want to do in terms of relationship. Because that's such a big breach of trust. It oftentimes ends relationships. Mm-hmm. And so it's deciding on what is going to happen in that relationship. Are we going to stay together and work through this issue and rebuild trust? Or are we going to separate, go our separate ways, and move on?
And hopefully having that maturity level to be able to do that, because so many times the partner who has been cheated on just it's an upheaval of their world.
Mm-hmm. It's devastating. It can be very devastating for the person, especially if they believe that they're in a monogamous relationship and that they're trusting that the person is honoring that commitment. It can be very painful. And so again, staying with those emotions, working through those emotions, processing that, and not moving forward too quickly can be the best thing, I think, for people who have experienced infidelity.
And just having that patience level that this is going to be a long process.
Exactly. And it can be, if they stay together, a very long process, because again, you're rebuilding trust. Mm-hmm. And trust is not something that is necessarily easy to establish.
It's not.
Especially when people may be coming from families where there might have been family of origin issues. There may have been infidelity between their parents. There may have been abuse issues. There may have been substance abuse, where trust may have been compromised between that person and his or her family of origin. It oftentimes makes it difficult for them to trust when they initially get into a relationship. So boom, this happens, and then they go back almost to square one, where they don't feel like they can trust anyone.
Mm-hmm.
And romantic relationships are very different from any other relationship. It's a kind of special relationship in that you're much more vulnerable and open than, let's say, a sibling or even a parental relationship. And so when that trust is compromised, it is very, very painful, and it can be something that really needs to be worked through very slowly. Sometimes, again, it takes years to do that.
Mm-hmm. And can you tell us a little bit about your book on infidelity?
So I have worked with a lot of clients individually and as a couple who have dealt with this issue. And I've also dealt with it personally in some of my own relationships. And so it really focuses on cheaters and what to look for, what kinds of things might be signs that this person might be, somebody who might be at a higher risk, so to speak, to cheat if they get into a relationship.
So it goes through the red flags and what you should be looking for.
Exactly.
Yes.
Yeah, and identify some of the red flags, things that you need to look for in families of origin, that this person might not be the best partner. And it's not just, I think, around infidelity. Sometimes it's around just dating and relationships. And there are things that I think people will tell you on a first date that you have to be able to listen to. I think Maya Angelou says when people tell you who they are the first time, believe them. And a lot of times on first dates, people will tell you, I've cheated, or I'm not responsible, or I have issues around trust, or I have issues around fidelity, I have issues around substance, I have issues, whatever the issue is for that person. Oftentimes they tell that in a first date. It would seem like, why would they do that? But for some reason, lots of people do. Mm-hmm. They just spit out their issues. And so if you're listening to that and not making excuses for that, and not sometimes buying the explanations so readily that they give for that, then I think it's better for that person who is looking for a partner.
Well, yeah, and then a lot of times they're like, well, I'll give you a chance, or I'll fix you.
Yeah, that never works.
Trust me.
Like, that never works.
Thou must fix thyself.
Thou must fix thyself. And usually the person who's trying to fix them has their own issues, and they're busy enough trying to deal with their own. So you really can't fix someone. They have to do the work themselves.
Mm-hmm.
That's never a good thing. You know, one that you can fix.
Exactly. And the title of that book is?
That one's called Cheaters.
Okay.
It's How to Work Through Infidelity.
And we will have you back on to talk about that. It's coming out September, correct?
I hope so.
Yeah.
Around probably late fall.
Okay.
So I'd love to come back and talk about that. And go into much more detail about, how to also work through that if you've been a victim of or survivor of infidelity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a huge breach, especially it can so sideswipe somebody if you think that your relationship is looking fine, or it's going along this path and everything looks pretty stable from the outside, and you're not seeing the signs that, you know, your loved one is cheating on you, or, you know, it's, you know, you get into that, the blinders.
Yes.
Or the comfort zone. And right.
Yeah. But it's a lot easier for people to do it now. Yeah. It's not just men that are doing it. There are women that do it too. But there are websites, like, I think it's called, is it Ashley something? Ashley Madison or something like that. I have to look at the name again. Mm-hmm. I may be giving the wrong name for the website, but there are websites that focus just on cheating.
Right.
And there are lots of websites that are hookup websites that people get onto, and they may be in relationships already and not be disclosing that to people.
Yeah, and that's another issue. If you're going to do that to another person, why even hold on to that original relationship? Because you know you're hurting your partner.
Right. But people do that for selfish reasons.
Yes.
So, and I also talk about issues of sabotage and how people oftentimes sabotage their relationships. They may say that they want to be in a relationship, but they do things to undermine those relationships.
Mm-hmm.
And again, that usually is linked to family of origin issues.
Yeah, they learn sneakiness, and they think that that's normal. And I usually like, or I should say, I hate the word normal and perfect, because those are illusions, I think.
Right,
so.
I agree. Yeah.
And people trying to categorize themselves into those boxes are it's difficult.
Yes.
Try to pull yourself out. So as we are wrapping up, what do you recommend that people do to start forgiving others, especially if it's a long-standing issue that they've held on to, and for some reason they feel that they're obligated to hold on to it, because if they forgive somebody else, then they feel like they're giving them a free pass and whatever they did was okay.
Now, again, actually, I don't think it's about giving the other person a free pass. It's not about the other person. It really is about you and releasing that stuff so that you're able to go on and move forward. It is about releasing the anger. It's about releasing the resentment around whatever happened between you and that person, or, again, incident or situation. It really is not about the other person. So learning that, I think that's the biggest takeaway, or should be the biggest takeaway, is that you want to release that. It does not do you any good to hold on to that. It's much better to let it go. And letting it go does not mean that you have to, again, be around that person. Mm-hmm. It does not mean that you are not acknowledging that that was a painful incident. It does not mean that you are not holding that person responsible for what they did. It means that you're just releasing that so that you're able to move forward, and that it's not holding you, that it's not given the same power and control, because you're really giving that person power and control when you are still holding on to that.
True.
And you want to take back your power and control. So releasing that allows you to do that.
That's a very good point. I think a lot of people don't realize that.
Mm-hmm.
By my forgiving you, I'm releasing what we had between us. I am now free to experience my life and not have to hold on to that burden anymore.
Exactly.
I'm healthier.
Healthier and taking back the control.
Yes. Mm-hmm. That is a wonderful way of putting it. I am healthier. I am taking back the control in my life that was temporarily sidetracked. Mm-hmm. It was temporarily taken offline here. Mm-hmm. But now we can, and learning the lesson. What did I learn from this situation? Mm-hmm. What's my takeaway from this?
Mm-hmm. So that you don't repeat that.
Yeah, exactly.
Whether it's in other relationships or situations, you can move forward. So, what can I take away? What can I learn from this?
Yes, and then how in turn can I forgive myself and release that guilt and shame? And therefore, I will not commit the mistakes that I made before.
Exactly.
I will not hurt people in the same manners I have previously. Mm-hmm. Move forward and grow, because that's all we've got is the present moment. We sort of have control over what's happening in our future. We can make plans. We can do goals. Mm-hmm. But sometimes it doesn't always come to fruition. So again, it is be here now.
Exactly.
Forgive yourself. Forgive others.
Exactly.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So is there anything else you would like to state about forgiveness or anything else that we've talked about so far that, you know, you wanted to embellish on a little more?
I just would say, again, that it is about releasing. And I think that that's where sometimes people really have a hard time. And again, releasing that, especially the role that they played in it. There are a lot of people that I've worked with who really have difficulty saying that, okay, I did this, I allowed this to happen, or my reaction is this, and maybe I need to have a different reaction. So it's about, again, like letting that part go so that it doesn't impede your progress. It doesn't hold you back. I think that, again, is one of the things that you want your listeners to take away.
Yeah, definitely. Don't hold yourself back. There's so much in life to experience. Why hold on to grudges?
Exactly.
I know. It's just negative energy that's going to make you ill in the end.
Right. And psychologically, there's lots of literature, again, to support that it's not good for you psychologically. Mm-hmm. You know, we see people that hold on to things like this, who hold on to anger and grudges. It leads to depression. It leads to anxiety. It can lead to a number of mental health issues, addiction, again, yes, that are detrimental for that person. So releasing those things, whether it is abuse or molestation or any of a number of things that we see within the larger community or infidelity, releasing that so that you're able to regain your own sense of power and control and move forward and have a much more healthy existence.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful. Yeah, that's great advice. Great advice.
Thank you.
If anybody would like to contact you, how can they do so?
I'm an assistant professor at the Chicago School, the downtown LA campus. They can reach me by Googling me, Gregory Canillas, last name is Canillas, and it usually brings up my Chicago page. And you can also email me at Chicago. It's gcanillas, Canillas, at thechicagoschool.edu. I'm on Twitter, Dr. GJ Canillas, Instagram, DRC9, and on Facebook, Gregory Canillas.
You're all over the place, social media wise. I need to follow suit, and yes. I'm not the best at it, though. I do have a Facebook page for Psych 101.
Yes.
And I would love to hear from people, and yeah, it's a good thing. So and you have some lectures coming up, correct?
I do.
Yes.
So I am presenting at a conference this week, actually the National Foster Parent Association Conference. It's going to be held in Norfolk, Virginia, and I'm doing actually three workshops. One is on managing stress for foster parents. One is on LGBTQ adolescents and helping them to reach their potential. And the third workshop is on emancipating teens. So helping teens who are going to leave the system be prepared to leave so that they don't end up homeless. I think there was a study that was done a few years ago on the LA County homeless population. And about 25% of them were surprisingly former foster youth.
Wow.
And so it's really, yeah, that is scary. And so, you know, that is the neighborhood that, you know, surrounds the studio.
We're in, yes.
Yeah. So really helping them to determine a plan of action so that they don't end up on the streets or with mental health issues, helping them to connect to services and to transitional housing and things like that.
Yes. Thank you for your wonderful work that you're doing.
Thank you.
I look forward to having you on again, Dr. Canillas.
Thank you.
And thank you so much for listening to Psych 101. Again, if you would like to go on a Facebook, or it's PSYCH 1-on-1. My email is jgood8@verizon.net. My office number is 562-234-4650. Please contact me if you have any questions, concerns, thoughts. I would love to hear from you. Thank you so much for joining us. We will be back in a couple of weeks. And take care of yourself. Take care of each other. Bye now.